Well, hello and welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Voices of Courage show. We are talking today about how to embrace a new consciousness. What's a new consciousness? Well, you know, from my point of view, it's a paradigm shift for you. I know in 1992 is when I woke up, and at that time I was in a therapy for about a year, and I walked in. I was hearing this little voice that said, "You got to feel the pain to make the change." So I took it to my therapist, and I said, "Doctor, I'm hearing this voice." Very wise man he was. He said, "Ken, I can't help you anymore. You have to follow that voice." And as I walked out of his office, wondering, "Wow, is he kind of done with me? Didn't like me? Did I say something wrong, or?" Is there something else going on? And I started asking, what is that voice? Well, that was the voice of courage. It was the voice of awareness. It was the voice that, for me, is the voice of consciousness. And we all have that within us. At the time, I didn't really know that. But I started to pursue that voice. And that voice led me to starting to understand who I am, what I'm about, why I'm here, what my purpose is, what the real purpose of life is for all of us, not just me. And what happened was I had a paradigm shift, and I was able to see things that were unseeable to me before, know things that were unknowable, and as a result, be able to do things that I was never able to do before. So our level of consciousness shapes our reality. The way we perceive the world determines how we respond to the world, how we respond to challenges, relationships, business, our finances. Every area is determined by our consciousness. And if you're walking in your world and you're going, you know, my life isn't doing what I thought it would do, you know, and you really get out of pretending. Okay, we got to get out of pretending that everything's okay. You know, what about your dreams when you're a kid? What about the dreams of what you thought was possible for yourself? What about those gifts and talents and abilities that you know are in there, but you really haven't expressed them yet? Well, when you can change consciousness, you can change your world. And one of the ways we change consciousness is by not seeing ourselves separate. I'm me, you're you. We start to live from a place of oneness. I've been working with a man by the name of Dr. Irvin Laszlo for the last couple of years, 3 years now. Dr. Laszlo's written 106 books, all about consciousness, really. He's a scientist, system scientist. What he found was all the scientific theories, you know, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, string theory, neuroscience, all of it led him to understand that when you get to the heart of all of it, we're all one. There's oneness in everything. You go to the micro, you go to the macro. There's oneness in everything. So I asked him one day, I said, "What's the price of greatness?" He said, "Knowing yourself and living from oneness." Wow, how do you live from oneness? That's powerful. Well, today I have a very special guest on my show. He spent decades researching this one question, and he's going to be talking to us about that. Why is it important for you today to listen to this show? Because if you want to shift that paradigm, if you want to shift your thinking and see things different and be able to respond to the universe in a different way, we have to shift what's inside. Change your thoughts, change your world. All right, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to have my very special guest. We will be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain. so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're going to have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural, drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster again. And my very special guest is Anton Gross. He's a PhD and so much more. Anton, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ken. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's so good to have you, man. I love our discussion today because I know where we're going to go. And I think it's a great place to go starting out the new year. For those of you that don't know Anton, he was born into a Jewish but profoundly atheist family. Anton Gross denied anything religious for the first half of his life. In 1978, at the age of 37, he discovered spirituality through a near-death experience, going through a tunnel into the light and experiencing the reality different and greater than anything that he'd ever thought possible. Since then, he's devoted his life to studying different spiritual paths, leading meditation practices, and helping those at the end of life. He's a PhD from California Institute of Integral Studies and in the evolution of human consciousness. You know, consciousness is a big subject, but not so big, too, you know. I love that you teach meditation because it seems to me that stillness is also the price of greatness.
Oh, it's amazing. There is so much stuff going on in the world outside. And it can drive you nuts. But like they say, all the water in the ocean will not sink a ship unless it gets inside the ship. Yeah. And in the same way, we can get to who we are inside ourselves and not let that outside world bother us. And when that happens, we're so much in more control of what goes on. We can handle the news coming in from outside better. And the decisions we make are so much better than those that are made from a place of anger or depression or conflict. When we get inside ourselves and know who we truly are, I am, you're at the core.
Well, you know, it's easy to talk about. It's not necessarily easy to understand. And what I mean by that is that there seems to be, at least in my journey, levels of consciousness that is almost like peeling an onion, right? My mind. I had to let go. Here's how I describe it. There was like a rust over my soul, right? And the soul meaning that energy, that power, that vibration, that essence of who I am at the core level of myself. There was like a rust. The rust was my, like you just said, the emotions, the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the traumas, the dramas, the anger, the resentments, the guilt, the shame, the remorse, all that stuff seemed to have to be peeled back before I knew the essence of me.
Yeah, but you put your finger on it exactly. We tend to think that we are our bodies, our minds, our emotions, our thoughts, but these are only adjectives that make us unique and different from each other. When I go, and this is true for each individual, when each of us goes inside to the core, what do we find? The feeling that I am. I certainly look differently than I do, look different than I do when I did when I was 15 or 17 years old. You know, my thoughts are different. My emotions are different. My experiences are different. All right. Yet when I look in the mirror, hey, I am. And that's true for each and every one of us. I mean, and of course, when you study it more and you get involved deeper and deeper, you realize that the I am that I feel inside, I am that you feel inside, don't just feel the same. They are the same. And that ultimately, the consciousness is the core of everything and the creative source of the entire universe. How boring would be if we were all the same. That's why the adjectives are all different. But at our core, we are not separately.
You know, we live in a world of duality. There's up and down, left and right, dark and light, good and bad. Everything is in a place of duality. We also live in a world of relativity. So from that point of view, can we really know truth? Can we know who we are?
I think so. I think that the biggest duality, by the way, is the one that we each experience in our own being, and that's the duality between inside and outside. Mm. All right. There's a real world out there, all right, that can be measured. But that world out there by itself has no meaning. It can be measured, but has no meaning. The world inside has meaning, but can't be measured. This is why scientists have always said, oh, you have faith in this, you believe in that, prove it to me. And they look to have us measure something and find it out there. Doesn't happen that way, all right? But why does one person walk down a street and go into a house? Well, because they live there. They know it. The house looks the same to all people. But it means something more on the inside to that particular person. And this is the big thing. And when we realize that the inner world is as real as the outer world, that's when we will get to put it together and realize that each of us is that synapse between the two.
Well, the inner world is determining our outer world. What we're visualizing, what we're holding inside of ourselves is out picturing in our life all the time. And you know, a lot, I think that part of you tapped on a little bit. I want to go there with identities, right? I am this and this. A lot of times, people have false identities. I'm a loser. I'm never gonna succeed. I'm not good at relationship. I have an allergy to this. I am this. I am that. You know, there's a lot of false identities that we, you know, people have said, well, you're the child that was beautiful. You're the child that was smart. And we take on these identities. Oh, I'm the smart child, or I'm the beautiful child. I'm the smart child, but I'm not pretty. The false identities all the time.
Oh, absolutely. People, the thing that people say to it, and we take them and we accept them. This, by the way, is the key to the 12-step approach, all right? The fact that I am not my thoughts, I am not my emotions, my ideas. I am not an addict. I have an addiction to such and such, all right? There is a woman who is in one of my meditation groups here in Newark, Delaware, where I live now. I started a meditation group at the Senior Center. And here's this woman in her 70s who thinks so poorly of herself because when she was a child, she asked her mother, "Mom, do you love me?" And the mother said, "Of course I do, but only when you're good."
Talk about conditional love, huh?
It blew her mind. She is now, she's 70 years old.
Yeah.
She's concerned, am I good? Hey, have I, for, you know, how have I behaved today? Will people like me? Will they not? How sad. Yeah. How sad that that happened. That's not who she is. Yeah. That wasn't even her own view of herself. That was someone else's comment. Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people on the planet right now that are kind of like dinosaurs, you know, in their mind. In other words, they, you know, just like her, you know, they took on a belief, a choice, an action, or what have you, and you know, and live that way and believe that this is who they are, what life is about. And you know, I want to put this out there. This isn't necessarily what we're going to talk about today, but you know, in our educational system today, we do not teach children how to use their mind. We do not teach children how to create possibilities. We do not teach children about health and vitality. We do not teach children how to become successful financially. We just, you know, we have antiquated ways of thinking not only in our own mind, but in our institutions and in our governments that really impact. You know, environment is stronger than a lot of people's willpower, right? Sure was for mine for years. So we, you know, how do we shift consciousness? And let's talk about consciousness. How do we shift consciousness in a global scale to help people to awaken, I guess is the word.
Well, first off, I think we have to do it individually. We each shift our own. And then when enough of us have reached it, a tipping point will be reached, and it goes on. Rupert Sheldrake's morphogenetic fields, you know, are an example of this. The chimpanzees who washed their food on one island in the Pacific, and when enough of them did that, suddenly they did it on another island, even though none of the other chimps had ever seen it. But the energy, it was transformed. All right, that is basically where we are and what we do. We have to experience it for ourselves on an individual basis. But think of it this way. Nothing in the outside world has to change, only how we look at it. Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine you and I and everybody who's watching this. Let's go outside and look at the stars, and it's in the 1500s right now. 1500 AD, let's look up at the stars. Is there any question that the universe circles around Earth? Absolutely not, because we can see it, right? The stars, in the one evening, they go all the way around the Earth. The sun during the day, the moon, there's no question we're in the center of the universe. And then this one guy, Copernicus, comes up with the idea the Earth rotates. Oh my God. And now you can look at the exact same thing and see it from a different perspective. If we are at that point right now in our society, in humanity, if we look and just see the differences between us by looking out there, then we'll remain the same way we have been at the moment, in conflict with each other, hurting each other. If we go inside and realize that the I am inside is just as real, and it's the exact same for all of us, then we're connected, and we can see that differently. And why would I hurt you if hurting you is going to hurt me?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And I got to take a break, but I will say this, because I've done some thinking around this. And, you know, when we get to the essence of ourselves, when we get to that place, all of us, within all of us is love. Within all of us is joy. There's power within all of us. There's compassion. There's the essence of us, right? Well, who are we at the very essence, right? not where the ego comes in or where, you know, we have to justify who we are, make up meanings and make a false identities and what have you, but at the real essence. And so when we understand that, that I'm looking into the eyes of another beautiful soul, I'm, you know, instead of you're here, I'm there, things shift. You know, I'll just say this, even with religion, you know, religion, I think the meaning of religion is to have God consciousness. We want to realize God. We want to be in God consciousness. And if you think about that, all of us in the world are, first of all, God, there's only one God then. Okay, if that's what the meaning is, if that's what we're trying to achieve is this self-realization, there's only one God, which would, there was only one God anyway. And, you know, in all the dogmas and all the, you know, beliefs and all that made up stuff from each religion, if you could set that aside.
Well, this is
the thing. We're all one here.
This is the thing, Ken, that I find so amazing.
Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I got to take a break real quick.
Oh, okay.
Get back. Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. I'm with Anton Gruffs, PhD, and he's got a new book out. We're going to be diving into that in this segment. Go ahead, finish your thought, Anton.
We were talking about religion, and
by the way, you got to center yourself in the screen.
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, you're good now. Yeah.
Okay. There is such a difference between, in my mind, religion and spirituality. Hmm. I cannot believe how people, in the name of God, in the name of one God, will go out and fight wars and kill other people who also believe in one God, but they call him by a different name. And they had different ways of talking to him or hearing or relating. Spirituality is going inside and feeling and experiencing that oneness, no matter what our background is. There are many different paths, and I have been blessed since my epiphany back when I was, you know, in 1978, when I was 37. Oh my God, was that a long time ago? But I can't, you know, since then I have studied so many different, from Christianity to Judaism to Islam to indigenous people to Buddhism to Hinduism to every possibility. And there's so many different ways to find the oneness. And I love sitting at the feet of someone who has found it a different way and have them show me this is how I experience it. And we share that. The only person you ever have to fear is the one who says, my way is the only way.
Well, you know, I was, if someone asked me what the price of greatness is today, I would say it is stillness and living from the consciousness of oneness. Being still, tuning into the universal consciousness, Akashic field, Christ consciousness, cosmic consciousness, whatever you want to call that, intuition, tuning into that part of ourselves takes stillness. And then understanding that we are one and living and treating everything as one. The trees are conscious. The carpets are conscious. Each one of us are conscious. Yeah, there's intelligence in the universe and everything is intelligent. And when we start treating it that way, everything changes for all of us.
Right. When you say stillness, I understand what you're saying. Of going deep inside to that place of stillness and peace and calm and one. There are so many different names for the oneness, for God, if you will. Yeah. Of all the, my favorite name is the old Hindu name, Satchidananda.
Oh, love that. Ever conscious, ever existing, ever new bliss.
Made up of three Sanskrit words, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Sat, existence, Chit, consciousness, Ananda, bliss. Existence, consciousness, bliss. I am that I am. I'm aware of it. Wow.
Yeah.
This is who we are at our core. And when you get to that point, everything changes immediately. It becomes beautiful. You can...
And when I think about bliss, I think about, you know, what's another name for bliss? It's love. It's love, right? You know, so there's a, it's very interesting. I've studied like you, you know, the saints and sages of every religion out there. Okay. I don't know if everyone, there's supposedly 10,000 religions out there. So I probably haven't got them all, but the major ones I have. And it always comes down to learning how to live from the consciousness of love, of oneness. It comes down to that. But here's the challenge, and this is why I have you on my show. The challenge is the protocols to get there. And even though there may be many different protocols to get there, at one point you got to follow a protocol. you got to pick one. I don't care which one, okay? Go pick one. And stick with it. And one of the things you put together is the new book that gives us protocols how to get there. So I'm put the book on the screen. It's called The Handbook for a New Consciousness. And let's talk about it. Well, first of all, you know, why should somebody read this?
Well, I found, as I said, I came from an atheistic family and, you know, it was only by having a near-death experience that I went through the tunnel into the light, experienced this unbelievable brightness and multidimensional, and I knew that everything that I had believed up to that point was not true, that there was a greatness, a something greater than our individuality, our separateness. But I can't expect everybody to have a near-death experience. You shouldn't have to. And so what I have done in creating this book as a phenomenologist is to come up with games, mind exercises, thought processes, puzzles that allow the individual to experience this universal oneness in the safety and privacy of their own mind without having to die to do so. And this is the point. And whatever your religion, fine. If you believe this and you are happy with it, continue on that path. If you're a scientist and don't believe in anything, That's okay. Do the puzzles, do the mind games, and you'll find the oneness by a different path. Quantum physics, this is the exciting thing, Ken, that you alluded to earlier. Quantum physics is telling us the very thing that religion has been telling us for centuries, namely that there's a oneness within the universe holding it all together. They call it dark energy. Religion calls it God. Doesn't matter what you call it, the oneness is there. And we feel that oneness when we get rid of the, go inside all the things that make us unique. We can feel that oneness inside us for all.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? They call it dark energy. Well, yeah, it's the essence, the glue, the vibration that holds everything together. It's the space between the space. It's that place where everything comes out of and everything goes into. It's a very, interesting universe that we live in. We think it's so solid. Matter is solid. But of course, when the quantum physicists look into matter, right, they find out it's 99.999% air, empty.
Or nothingness, right?
Nothingness, right? So when we think of that, this is a big, it's a holographic dream that we're all dreaming. And holographic mean, it's like if I cut my little finger off here, right? All the cells, everything that's in this little finger is in this body. Okay, it's already there, right? So it's like, wow, we live in a holographic universe, and yet there's nothing here. Well, what are we making up then? How is this dream being created, right?
Well, if I may share, by the way, there's one really easy way to live and exist, even if you don't know the answers, understand them logically, rationally in your mind. Still, how do you live? Very simple. Do what you enjoy. Do what makes you happy. I want to share a little story with you. On my 8th birthday party, my Aunt Claire asked, "What do you want to be?" And I said, "I want to be happy." And my mother's walking past at the time. She turned. She says, "You can't be happy. You have to be something." Well, we all want to be something in our lives, but at our core, joy and happiness is what we truly want to be. And it's different for each of us. If you say to somebody, "Tell me the things that make you happy," and they tell you, and then you say, "Okay, now tell me the things you're good at," they're probably the same things as the things you enjoy doing. The things you like, the things you're good at, the things that are your true nature. And when each of us does that, so much more can be accomplished in total than if we just do something because we have to. This is one of the joys of being my age now. I'm 85 years old, and at 85, I don't need to set an alarm clock, and I can read a book without having to write a book report. And I can eat dessert for dinner if I want to. I can do what I want to do, and it makes me happy. And other people have the right to do that too. And that's why we're all different, so that so many things could be experienced by the oneness we are inside.
Yeah. And there's a part of that that you've worked at to get there. You and I have looked at, for me, it's daily. Like, well, what works? What doesn't work? And where can I improve tomorrow? And that improve tomorrow is usually finding that happiness piece. I know for me, there are places where I go, "Oh, I don't like to do this. I don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah." And I look at my life and I think, well, this is always going to be in my life. at some point in time, you're going to have to wash the dishes. You can either have an attitude of, I don't want to, I'd hate this, or you can switch your attitude around and go, you know what? How can I do this and love it?
Sure.
There's both parts going on here.
Absolutely. It's our minds create the reality for us. As I said, quantum physics is beginning to understand the fact that we, the observer, creates what is out in the world. And we can walk down. I remember my wife coming home I just moved to San Francisco. She said, oh, the people in San Francisco, they're so lovely. You walk down the street and they're smiling at you all the time. And I said, dear, have you ever looked at your face? When you walk, you're always smiling. When people walking past you, of course, smile at you. And this is the thing. What we bring into the world affects the world around us. If you walk down the street with that, you know, scowl on your face, you're not going to get smiles back. If you walk with a smile, you'll get one.
And I love that, you know, and I would ask my audience, go test that out, right? You know, I had one of my coaching clients that came in, and she was telling me, you know, I'd like to have more love in my life. And I said, oh, okay, good. Well, here, why don't you do this? Why don't you just go out there and practice putting a smile on your face and then looking at everybody that you meet from a loving point of view? Why don't you just do that? She said, she came back the next week and she said, it's the weirdest thing, Ken. Kids would come. I don't really like kids that much. Little kids, she says, and they would come up to me in the grocery store and be tagging on me, wanting me to connect with them because I'm holding this energy of love in my heart, right?
You can feel that. You can feel what somebody's energy has.
Yeah.
You know, and we can do that. We can affect the world around us. We may not be able to stop the wars around, you know, that are going on around the world, or the unrest in this country, but we can make the life in our part of the world that much better. Just an amazing little thing.
I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, when we come back, again, I want to take a little deeper dive into your book and tell people where they can get it. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with my guest, Anton Gross, and Anton has a new book out. The book is called The Handbook for a New Consciousness. It's the next step in human evolution. And you can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I'm not sure where you can get it. Anton, why don't you tell us where you can get it?
Oh, any number of...
That's what I figured, yeah. Yeah, so... and what's unique about the book is it's doesn't really matter who you are or what your religious path is. This is a book that will help you so you don't have to go through a near-death experience, that you can find the enlightenment without maybe that process in your life. Yeah.
And I think it's fun. It's games. It's puzzles. It think, and you realize that you can find within yourself the very feeling of, you know, of knowing of the oneness.
Yeah. Anton, what it's the new consciousness. What's the old consciousness versus the new consciousness? What are we talking about here?
I think the old consciousness is the one that says we're all unique, we're all separate, me, you know. The new one is recognizing we're all connected. Look, what if there were eyes on the end of the fingers? And they looked out and they saw the thumb. They said, "You stupid thumb coming from all the way over there. Take that, 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 that." And they scratched the thumb and the thumb got all infected and the infection went up back through the finger and the fingers got infected. Would the fingers have scratched and injured the thumb if they knew they were all connected and they were going to get injured and infected because of what they did? I don't think so. Shouldn't we be as smart as our fingers? You know, shouldn't we realize that when we realize that we are all connected and that hurting you is really hurting me, I won't do it anymore.
I agree with you. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of us are looking for solutions outside of ourselves. I mean, you know, there's more information on the planet now that's been on the planet for millennium. And, you know, if you need information, just use AI or Google it. You know, you can get all the information. But what we lack is somehow combining that intellect with wisdom, with our intuition. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, first off, I've got to say, AI, you say AI, and you, seeing is no longer believing, Ken. You know this is true. I saw an image of Dr. Martin Luther King speaking about something that had occurred after he had died. And you know that this was not him. This was an AI creation of his pictures, of using the sound of his voice. So the only way to know something is to experience it for yourself. And when you know that, you can say, yes, I experienced, I know what it, this is true. After I wrote my first book a number of years ago called Letters to a Dying Friend, which was a westernized version of the Tibetan Book of the Dead with an intro by the Dalai Lama, and that was also after my near-death experience. And I was interviewed for, and people would call in and say, "I had an experience like that too, but my family says don't talk about it. Father Anthony thinks we're weird enough already, you know." And I forgot about it. And so, but you know, it could have had an effect on my life, couldn't it? And the answer is yes, yes, it could have. And you know what? It still could, if you allow yourself to believe what you experience. The things that we experience inside may not be provable, but they are real, and they absolutely affect our lives. And we validate what you experience, no matter what someone else tells you.
Yeah, it's all an inside job. That's what I've learned. You know, it's an inside job. And, you know, as we change ourselves, we can become part of the solution. We can change our world. Like I said, it does take some work. And that's why I love your book, because the book helps you to understand, you know, how to use the I am properly, how to understand who you are as a soul, you know, to get rid of false identities.
Mm-hmm.
And start to use the mind in a way that supports you in growing, evolving, becoming the best version of yourself. You know, that's kind of overused. It's, you know, people say that all the time. But, you know, the truth is, you know, if you love your life, you know, then pass this on to somebody that doesn't love their life. Use this as a guide to reinforce what you already know is true, right?
That's right. One of my favorite quotes is Richard Bach, the author of Jonathan Livingston Seagull, had this great little thing. He says, "How do you know when your work on Earth is done?" And the answer is, if you're still alive, it isn't. So are we talking about, you know, we're talking about our work on ourselves. You know, I am, you are, each of us is perfect as we are at the moment. But that doesn't mean we can't become more perfect. Oh, I had a horrible temper when I was younger. I mean, I had a father who threw things across the room when he was angry. You know, I thought that's the way you behave. Well, I learned that's not, at least not with my wife. She doesn't want me to be like that. And I'm a better person because of it. Do I still lose my temper? Not nearly as much as I used to, but yeah. I can.
You know, it's interesting. You know, some people think, well, if I let go of my old ways of thinking and behaving, and if I let those go, then who will I be? You know, there's a fear around that. You know, will I still be me? You know, and what do you say to that?
I say you'll still be me. You'll still be I am. One of the exercises in the book is to go back and, you know, is to look at yourself in the mirror and compare yourself with that person where you're exactly the same. But then the next level, the next step is to go back and look at a picture of yourself as a younger person. That was still you, but you were so different then.
Yeah, that's good.
And this is how you can go back and realize I can change and I still am me. Who do I want to be?
Yeah. Who do I want to be? I think we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you for this wonderful conversation. I loved our conversation.
Oh, Ken, absolutely. Thank you very much. And
for those of you that are watching, I encourage you to go and get the book. It's called Handbook for a New Consciousness. And again, the author is Anton Gross, G-R-O-Z.
G-R-O-S-Z.
Oh, I missed that. Not in my notes. Okay. But anyway, originally.
See, and by the way, if anyone wants to contact me directly, I am at AntonGross.com. I'd love to hear from people.
Awesome. Again, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for being here. If you continue to watch this show, I can almost guarantee that you'll be able to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and be able to do the impossible in many areas of your life. Take care.